On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, we welcome you to a final episode this week and maybe of the season. That's right. By the time we reconvene, the season might be over. Hopefully not. Of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm your host, Chris Russell. Good to have you with us. As always, coming up, you will hear from Ron Rivera. You will hear from Jack Del Rio. You will hear from Scott Turner. And we will get you in and out, let you hear from the coordinators, the men in charge of putting a plan together to beat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A couple of news and notes items before we get to a final injury report and Alex Smith, word on him. We wanted to tell you that 10 years ago, Friday, as we record this, January the 8th, 2011, the New Orleans Saints had to visit the 7-9 Seattle Seahawks. And that was known as the game that Marshawn Lynch went bonkers on, beast mode, and the Seattle Seahawks, again, playing at home with a raucous sellout crowd, ended the New Orleans Saints season. New Orleans had won the Super Bowl the year before. And, of course, Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks ran all over them. It was back and forth for a while, but Lynch had a monster game. And again, 7-9, yes at home, yes with a thunderous crowd. The Washington football team not going to have that, and they don't have Marshawn Lynch. But anything is possible, right? And as we've talked about from time to time this year, and as we've talked about from time to time this week, of course, Ron Rivera was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers in 2014, 7-8-1, taking on, yes, a fourth-string quarterback in Ryan Lindley and the Bruce Arians-led Arizona Cardinals. And they won that game, once again, at home, because they were the winners of the division. Also, 21 years ago on Friday, January the 8th, the last Washington football home playoff win. That's right. The last Washington home playoff win. So just a couple of interesting news and nuggets, if you will, for you as we get things going here on this final edition. Let's get you a final injury report from Thursday. There is slight change to this, not a change, but an update, let's put it that way. And that is on Alex Smith. Now, Alex Smith, his status hasn't changed officially. He is questionable. He was limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. The thought all along has been, well, he's still likely to start, barring some sort of setback, right? So Ron Rivera on Thursday said, boy, I wish we had an extra day, which I wish we had an extra day, too, for healing and for preparation time. Also, Ron said, look, Taylor Heinicke took the bulk load of the reps on Thursday, the final full practice of the week. Now, they had a walkthrough on Friday morning, and apparently Alex Smith came back okay. And he came back into the facility feeling fine, I guess, as it was determined by John Keim of ESPN. So the expectation is, barring a setback into tomorrow, that Alex Smith will start for the Washington football team. Now, how long he goes, we don't know. If there's an alternative plan in terms of rotating right away to keep torque and pressure off the leg, to give him a little more time to recover, that we don't know. It's a possibility. It's a possibility that we see Taylor Heinicke just at some point. It's a possibility still that something happens overnight now, or today, or tonight, or tomorrow morning, or in warmups, to Alex Smith and Taylor Heinicke has to start. But right now, it looks like, per John Keim, that Alex Smith returned to the facility okay today, looked all right, and there's once again renewed optimism that he's going to play and start. The final injury report looked like this. So Alex Smith limited, so was Kevin Pierre-Lewis. He is questionable as well. So was Terry McLaurin. He is questionable. So was Antonio Gibson. He is questionable. Thomas Davis Sr., once again, did not practice. He's been ruled out. And again, he is going to retire as soon as this season is over. So, Being that the Washington football team are heavy underdogs, 8, 8.5, depending on what book you're using, betonline.ag has them at last check at 8.5, I believe, is what the number was that I saw. And I am not touching that one, I can tell you that much. You know, the Washington football team, of course, isn't expected to win this game. No, it's actually 8 now. It's actually 8 now on betonline.ag, which is where you should play, which is where your boy plays. So Saturday night, 8-point favorites for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with an over-under of 44.5 for you. Minus 400, the Bucs on the money line, plus 320 for Washington football on the ML. All right, so you have that situation, and again, just quickly wrapping up the injury report. So Thomas Davis is out. Kendall Fuller was a full go in practice after being limited on Wednesday. We talked about that on our crossover Thursday episode with Locked On Bucks and James Harrison. So we had that. Brandon Scherff was full on Thursday as well, and so was Jonathan Allen, so they are good to go. Scherff was limited earlier in the week with a shoulder. By the way, Brandon Scherff, first-team All-Pro AP selection at right guard. That is like the first time since Matt Turk, I think, was a first-team All-Pro. It's been a long, long time. Now, that's the Associated Press Award. To be quite honest with you, I don't go crazy over that, just because, you know, just because. I don't think in a lot of ways those guys necessarily watch a lot of football outside of the teams that they cover, and they watch bits and pieces, and it's more a reputation thing, kind of like the Pro Bowl. But nevertheless, neither here nor there. I mean, congratulations to Brandon Scherff. Certainly right timing. Ed Block Courage Award winner earlier this week, and now first team All-Pro for the Washington football team. So congratulations to him. Final injury report for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was Carlton Davis, a full go. He's their best corner, so he is questionable but expected to play. Mike Evans was limited on Thursday after not practicing earlier in the week. He is questionable. He is expected to try and play. Don't know how effective. LeSean McCoy, DNP. He is questionable, but he was a DNP on Wednesday and Tuesday and Thursday, which is generally not a good sign. Ronald Jones was full, so he's fine. So is Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh. And once again, it is going to be really tough to run the football against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. All right, so that's your news and notes right here on our final episode. When we come back, let's hear a little bit from Ron Rivera on Thursday, and we'll try and squeeze in a little Jack Del Rio and Scott Turner as well before the show is out. Good to have you with us right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm Chris Russell, here for our friends at rockauto.com. Yeah, that's right. I was watching News Network coverage. I saw the Rock Auto television commercial pop up on CNN the other night, and, you know, it got me to think, you guys, I need to tell you guys, in case you didn't see that, and in case you just listen to us, which is good, you need to go to rockauto.com, right? So here's how it works. RockAuto.com doesn't have that big overhead that the auto parts superstores have, that you've got to pay for the building, you've got to pay for all the shiny new toys and shelves and employees and all that stuff. RockAuto.com just gets you the very best parts, foreign or domestic, car or truck, new or old, anywhere, anyhow, any model, any make, you ask for it, they'll get it for you at the very best prices. You need a fuel pump assembly. You need, something, you know, vanity for carpets, rugs. You need a new mirror. They can get it for you. Again, foreign or domestic, rockauto.com is where you want to go. And when you go to rockauto.com, see the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever, ever, ever need at rockauto.com. All right, I'm Chris Russell. We are with you on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast as we count you down to kickoff Saturday night, 8:15, Tampa Bay and the Washington Football Team at FedEx Field. I'll be there. We'll have a fresh episode, win or lose, early Sunday morning. 2020 is mercifully over, guys. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your favorite podcasts, like the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Appreciate you guys being with us. And away we go with Ron Rivera from Thursday after the final main practice of the week, the head coach of the Washington Football Team.
All right, guys, we can open it up for Coach. Nikki, you could kick us off.
Ron, happy birthday. Are you able to give us any sort of update on Alex Terry and Antonio beyond their status reports? Just how did they look in practice, and what's your feeling going into Saturday?
Well, they look good moving around. You know, we have them off to the side doing things that we had them doing, and they all look good moving around. Alex still a little bit sore. You know, it's one of those things that I kind of wish we had an extra day just to be sure, but we'll see how he is tomorrow morning, and we'll go from there. But you know, we had Taylor took the bulk of the reps, and we went through practice today.
And secondly, with everything that happened yesterday in the city, was there any sort of meeting or discussion with the team about everything that went on?
No, we were trying to get the feel and the pulse for the players, and it seemed to be very positive. You know, I talked to our director of player development, and they just seemed to be in a good place. And they had a lot of energy today in practice. We had a lot of fun at the end of practice. They were harassing somebody about their birthday, so it was one of those things that, you know, if the mood had been different, they most certainly would have addressed it. But I just didn't think there was the need for it right now.
Hey, Ron, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Something that's, of course, one thing that Scott mentioned yesterday is that you guys are certainly not babying Taylor Heinicke, as he might possibly have to play in this game. One of the things I was kind of curious about is, do you feel like this is the kind of game where the quarterback can simply manage it and you guys can get through it? Or do you feel like this is the kind of game where there's going to have to be some plays made by the quarterback or whoever is back there?
You know, what's interesting about this, Rhea, is, you know, a lot of times, you know, you look at the your personnel and you say, hey, if we got this, we just got to get the ball in their hands. And I don't know if you necessarily would say he has to manage it, getting the ball in their hands, or he has to make plays, getting the ball into their hands. I think we have guys that can make plays, so we've got to get the ball into their hands. We can manage it, I think. You know, a lot of it has to do with the play calling, obviously, and then reacting to the defense and making good decisions. But I think if we manage it and we do spread the ball around and get the ball into the guy's hands, they can make plays for us. I mean, this really is I think, as far as our team is concerned, you know, we're trending up. We got a group of guys that are we think can become playmakers in this league. They've shown their playmakers. Good example is what happened last week with the two touchdowns we scored. I think, you know, Terry and Logan both show that they are guys that we can go to in the red zone and get the ball in their hands. You look at what JD has showed us over the course of the season. You know, he's a playmaker. Cam's a playmaker. You know, Peyton's a physical downhill runner. Guys like that, you know, you just got to get the ball to them. And so I think that's what, you know, the quarterback has to do, whether it's Alex or it's Taylor, is we got to get the ball into those guys' hands.
And obviously I know that regardless of who's going to be back there, it's going to be very important for you all to establish the run in this game. And I know how much more difficult it'll be with Tampa Bay. And I'm more or less curious, how do you, with the defense as stout as they are, what do you do in order to create those kinds of success? Because we've seen what happens when the team gets away from running, like the Carolina game, you've mentioned that a couple of times. Yeah. And we've seen what happens when you guys stick with it. So how do you guys stick with it, create success, at least for an opening, a possible big play there?
Well, I think the big part of it is this game. We've got to keep this game close. We've got to play well on defense. We've got to put points on the board when we get the opportunity, and make sure we keep it close. If we keep it close, and they can't pin their ears back, knowing that we got to throw the ball, it gives us a chance to stay balanced. And that's what we have to do, is stay balanced against these guys. And I think we can. I do. You know, it's a good challenge for our young football team to find out exactly where we are, and you know, doing things the right way and keeping it balanced gives us an opportunity to to keep the run pass question in their mind.
Hey, Ron, I wonder, you've talked a lot about, you know, the importance of having the pulse of your locker room and kind of leaning on your experience. I wonder today when you came in, is that sort of an example of, hey, maybe we're not going to address the team because you felt out the vibe? Do you feel like that's an example of maybe the advantage of that?
I do. It's kind of hard, though, because of the COVID, because we can only have guys in early that are getting treatment or working out. And so when you try to interact, you don't have the big groups of guys like you normally do. And so, you know, as we kind of went through it today and just trying to see how everybody is, it just, you know, the positive vibe, you know, I think was good. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, one of the things that we were going to address really was, you know, what had happened at the Capitol, but also, you know, the result is, you know, is Congress went back and finished the job. And so, you know, we know, you know, what now there's no doubt, there's no chance that, hey, this is our president going forward. And that's kind of, I think, how the guys felt. And so, you know, the intent was to talk after practice, but they had a lot of energy, a lot of positiveness about them. And, you know, I felt that might have been a little too heavy for them.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And I wonder, you know, when last week, when you kind of had that routine set up for the late start, did you learn anything, you know, through that routine, or are you going to tweak or adjust anything maybe now that you have another late start?
Felt good about it. You know, and getting the opportunity to see the guys and how they were interacting with the stretch. You know, we had to do it socially distanced. We had to set up 10 stations, you know, in this massive ballroom. So there's a lot of area for each guy to, you know, to work. And you know, a little music going, and you could see the guys were kind of, you know, they were kind of relaxed, had some energy, you know. And one thing did ask is, hey guys, let's don't expend too much energy during this. Let's just make sure we're getting a good quality stretch and activating our bodies. And so I think that'll, you know, that again is the same approach that we're going to use and use the same format.
From a defensive perspective, and obviously you coaching on that side your whole career until becoming a head coach, but just from a purely defensive perspective, what do you admire about a guy like Todd Bowles, who's known as an aggressive guy, but seems like, at least based on what I've seen, you know, maybe can kind of play it both ways, like he's not married to just one style, I guess?
Well, I think guys that have been in the league for a while develop that repertoire. You know, you have to adjust to your opponent. You know, I can remember back in the day when playing for Buddy Ryan and listening to him talk about defenses and what you have to be able to do. And he always used to say, you know, he never went in with just one thought in mind. He went in with a couple of thoughts, because he said, what happens if they've prepared well enough that they're stopping this? You've got to be able to adapt and make a change and go to another area. So don't just get married to one. And I think, you know, veteran coaches have had a chance to see all that. And Todd has done such a good job with it in terms of being flexible, adjusting, adapting, you know, that he's right back where he's been in the past. And that's near the top of, or at the top as a defensive coordinator in this league.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What are some of the things you're telling your guys and your coaches that you cannot do in order to keep playing in the playoffs?
Well, the biggest thing is we can't turn the ball over more than anything else, and we have to play disciplined football. Those are probably the two major things. Biggest thing, you know, and just try to remind the guys, is about what we do and how we do it. So make sure we know our jobs, we know our assignments, and we know the why. That's probably the most important thing for us as a young team that's developing and growing, is that understanding that these things are the important things to help you win, and these are the negative things that we want to be aware of that can create the loss.
And I know that the three picks that Alex threw against the Giants maybe were kind of thrown out because it was his first extended play, but he has had three picks in the last two games. Just why do you think his position isn't normally where it usually is?
Well, I think obviously his injury plays a little bit into it. And that's unfortunate, because he's been so clean this year after the Giants opportunity. So, you know, and again, I'm not too worried about it. He's a veteran guy, and he's done some good things, and he'll continue to do good things for us.
Aaron, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You've said that, you know, you never considered taking a year off. You know, you knew you wanted to coach right away after being let go by Carolina. But I was just wondering, what do you think it would have been like if you had taken the year off, obviously, you know, with the cancer battle and everything? And does that make you more grateful for
having an opportunity like this on Saturday.
Yes, it does. It really does. I can't imagine having been in any other situation or set of circumstances. In reviewing what I went through the other day, you know, the biggest thing that really helped me through this entire situation, set of circumstances, other than, you know, my family and my wife and my daughter being here constantly, my son coming in to help out, is, you know, was Dr. Casolaro and Ryan Vermillion, our head trainer. You know, you're talking about two guys that helped me and helped advocate for me as I went through and try to navigate the ins and outs of getting cancer treatment. And that's a huge story. That's a huge part of the story. I don't think people realize that there's a lot of difficulties, a lot of pitfalls. And I was fortunate because I had people that helped me to avoid those. I can't imagine having to try to do that by myself. I really can't, you know. It's interesting. I've got to talk with Dr. Marshall over at Georgetown. He and his wife, Liza. And it's interesting because there's a lot of parallels. And we've talked about that. And there were a lot of parallels between what I went through and what she went through. And she was fortunate. And we were talking about this because her husband is who he is. He was able to help navigate that for her. And this is something, you know, that I've spoke about, and I want to be an advocate for this because I can't imagine it. So people say, well, what would happen if you'd taken the year off? I don't know. I really don't. And it scares me to think about what could have happened. So I'm very fortunate. There's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason why I went through what I went through. And I think because of it, I'm very fortunate. I think I'm better for it. I've learned from it. I want to help.
All right. Thanks to WashingtonFootball.com. That is part of head coach Ron Rivera from Thursday afternoon. Good luck to the birthday boy from Thursday, turned 59 years old. Did Ron Rivera, and as he mentioned there, the 30th anniversary of his 29th birthday. All right, we are brought to you by betonline.ag. Told you about them earlier in the show. They've got the Buccaneers, as we record this mid-Friday afternoon, as 8-point favorites. We told you about the money line. We told you about the over-under. I think I might be tempted to go over with one of my bets. I'm thinking about it. Over the 44.5, I think it'll be a higher scoring game than most people are thinking, even though Washington's defense is pretty good. I might go over the 44.5 at minus 108. All right, so that's what I'm thinking about at betonline.ag. But, you know, I can do that because I've got money in my account, and I can have a little fun. I can have a little juice on the game, just like I did last Sunday night. And so can you at betonline.ag. Go there right now, guys, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. NFL action all weekend. The College Football National Championship on Monday night. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. All right, we finish up the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast with a little sprinkle of Jack Del Rio from Thursday afternoon as well.
My question for you is, you've faced Tom Brady 10 times so far in your career as defensive coordinator, head coach. I'm just curious, what have you learned about facing Tom Brady? What have you discerned? What are you taking into Saturday's game from those experiences?
Quite a bit. I mean, obviously he's really good. You know, the combination of Belichick and Brady have won a lot of championships and knocked a lot of people out of the playoffs, like us, a couple times. So a great player and obviously a great competitor. And, you know, the most impressive thing for me looking at him, watching the tape here late in the year, is that he looks like a young man. He does not look like somebody who's, you know, maybe tailing off as the year goes on. So I was hoping to see that, but he is, you know, it looks like Tampa has been good to him being down there in Florida, and you know, he's moving around well and his arm is live. And so we've got a big challenge.
And then we asked Ron about this, but I guess I wanted to ask you as well too. He's talked about the exuberance that the defense and the team overall has had, just getting excited for this game. Obviously, you know, I'm sure that Chase Young after the game on Sunday said, "I want Tom." I was curious, what's your reaction to one that, but then also to just the reaction to the team that they're willing to step up and they want to face the best of the best. They're not shrinking in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, we're excited to play, you know, to be alive and to be in the tournament. And, you know, we understood that when we won, you know, that we would get Tampa. So I think, you know, he's just laying it out there. I mean, nobody's backing away from it. We're you know, going to go compete. And so, you know, I mean, we've got a young team and, you know, we're looking forward to the challenge. I mean, we are working hard to prepare and understand our opponent. That's what we do each and every week. And it's really no different this week in terms of our approach and how we're attacking it consistently. We'll put a plan together and go compete, but we're looking forward to it.
Chris Russell and then Sam Fortier, Pete Haley.
Hey, Jack, good afternoon. Just curious, like back in, I guess, August, before you really had any game tape to watch your defense, is this about what you expected in terms of the overall performance? Is this a lot better than you expected? Like, if you could remember back then, just kind of like what you were envisioning in your head for your unit.
Well, I don't really look at it that way. You know, I don't try to predict the future. I just attack it each and every day, come in with energy, you know, work on developing the mindset that we need to compete and be tough and, you know, and work at the, you know, just coach and teach and working with the staff and developing our players and bringing them along every day. And, you know, really about, it's more about the process, enjoying each other, building trust and building accountability and those, you know, just working at it. I don't come in, you know, looking at it like, okay, at the end of the year, it's going to look like this. I just, you know, to me, we attack every day and we're looking to maximize every day and every opportunity we have to grow and build trust and an understanding. And that's what we've done.
Thank you, Jack.
You bet.
Jack, your young defenders have talked a lot about, I think, you know, watching Tom Brady as they were growing up as kids. Is there any concern that maybe, you know, the challenge against someone like him is not just physical, but also maybe mental?
It could be, but I don't see it that way. I think our guys are dialed in, working on the preparation, looking forward to competing, you know, and it's just keeping it that simple. So there's no question. The guy's a great player. And, you know, some of these guys, I think Chase, you know, Chase is 20 and Tom's been doing it for 20 years. You know, so it's like, you know, when he was born, Tom was winning championships. So, you know, look, the guy's sustained success at an amazing level throughout his career. And but for us, you know, that's we're not playing 20 years of Tom. We're playing one night and one game and looking forward to the competition.
Thanks, Jack.
Hey, Jack, just curious, how have you seen Tom Brady adapt to what Bruce Arians does? And are there any concepts they brought over to New England? Like, does he still run some of the same stuff that he had success with there, or has he adapted to an entirely new system?
I think it's been a blend. You know, obviously, you know, Bruce has done some great things in his career in the league, and bringing Tom in, you know, obviously they're gonna incorporate some things that Tom likes and does well. So that's been there's been a little bit of blending there. Certainly some things that that I remember seeing from, you know, the New England approach as well that are part of the game now with Tampa. But yeah, I mean, they're good coach, good quarterback, and a lot of good players. You know, they're a very talented offense.
Yeah, I mean, they have so many weapons. Is this the best kind of overall offense or just set of skill players that you've faced this year?
Yeah, I haven't really looked at it like in terms of ranking them. I just know they're really good. You know, every week there's a new set of challenges, and you know, you're trying to, you know, make sure that you account for the playmakers they have and the system that they run and the things they like, and try and get them slowed down. We want to give our offense the ball as much as we can, and to do that, we have to slow them down, and so that's the goal. You know, just get the ball back for our offense as often as possible.
All right, that's just a small taste of Jack Del Rio as he wraps up his first year with the Washington football team as defensive coordinator. Coming up now, we'll hear just a sprinkle from Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator of the Washington football team. So, you know, obviously, as you looked at Alex from Sunday night, he comes out really strong on third down, the first drive, and then he rebounds at the end of the first half. What kind of, in your opinion, happened in between that that maybe led to his struggles? Was it all on the calf, or was Philadelphia kind of doing something to you guys that maybe kind of got the offense out of rhythm?
No, I just think, you know, the one thing that their defensive front really played well, I thought, all night. You know, I think our, you know, offensive front played well as well, but they, you know, they got some really good players up front. They were missing some guys, in the back end, but you know, some of the guys like, Brandon Graham, you know, those guys were really, they were bringing it. You know, the first drive was great, you know, obviously going 4-for-4 on third downs, was good to start. And then obviously scoring on a 91 yard drive. And then, you know, they made some plays. Obviously we took a loss on the second drive. We kicked the field goal, because defense gave us great field position. And then, as you said, the 2 minute, I mean, it's going to go, there's going to be some back and forth, when it comes to those types of things. You know, I just give credit to them for making some plays.
All right, and that's going to do it for us right here on LOWFT. Thanks for being with us all week, all year. Hopefully this is not the end in terms of the season. Hopefully there will be an upset victory and Washington will give a good run and we'll have a football game to talk about. If not, we'll be back, like I said, Sunday morning at some point. With a fresh episode and into Monday, wrapping up the season, and then the Washington football team will wrap it up, clean out their lockers, and then we will see what this offseason holds for all of us. I'm Chris Russell. Thanks again for all of your listenership and for downloading, and please continue to spread the word. We will be here throughout the offseason. Good luck to the Washington football team, and again, thanks for being with us. Adios.